Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live from inside the main build facility here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom. We all know the master Bubba who's standing right here, Bub. How you doing today, Bubster?
Yo, I'm doing really good. Today has been a banner day so far. 3 years in the making is today.
And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Bub, this episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Monkey in Paradise. That's monkeyinparadise.com. Bub, what is your paradise?
Dude, my paradise right here, right now, Jupiter, Florida, BEM, Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, MIP, Monkey in Paradise, DB8, DNA, MOB, which is Miss Outlaw Boutique.
Miss Outlaw Boutique.
We have a line. TonyRienzi.com, all powerhouses, insanity running across every one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a big announcement. Once we get through this sponsorship deck, we're going to add somebody new to the Lion Pride here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Miss Outlaw Boutique, that's MS Outlaw Boutique, 561-660-6695. How about this, Bub? TonyRienzi.com. That's TonyRienzi.com, where the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Turbinetics Porsches are now up for sale because there's a new project in the pipeline, Bub.
People have no idea.
People have no idea, Bub. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to announce that we are adding another member to the Lion Pride. You heard Bub mention Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. DNA Surface Concepts, Bub. We've got TonyRienzi.com. We've got MonkeyInParadise.com. I mean, and we also, who else am I missing, Bub? We've got so many there. It's incredible. Cars and Coffee of the Palm Beaches. Ladies and gentlemen, they officially signed on as a title sponsor here with Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, and it is the world's largest Cars and Coffee event. Guinness certified. They will be doing a lot with us. John, Zillinga, and Max are on it. And this is big. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. There's going to be a lot coming out about Cars and Coffee joining the Lion Pride here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, Bubster.
Hey, let me tell you. I was actually telling one of our really good clients yesterday. You may know him. I built a 750 horsepower ZL1 Camaro for him.
That's correct.
Very, really cool guy. So let me tell you. He has never been to Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach. So I sat down with him yesterday in my office. We were going over detailing. He wanted to know about some of the stuff that Sean's got at DNA. So he came over and sat down specifically to go over some of those products. I was showing him through Sean's website, all the products that are available on Sean's Instagram as well. But I'll tell you what, man, I was discussing the way Cars and Coffee Palm Beach is not only set up, but the atmosphere, the layout, 2,000 plus cars every event, dude. That is insanity for all in one place, one location, one gathering. People freaking everywhere. I think there was 20-something thousand people there last time.
Yep.
That checked in just on the Cars and Coffee Facebook page. The place is shoulder to shoulder packed with everything you can imagine going on.
People from around the world, I know you love your Cars and Coffee overseas. Nobody has seen or experienced a Cars and Coffee like this. We've done them all over the United States, Bub. Made celebrity appearances at them June 11th this year at the Palm Beach, or this month, at the Palm Beach Outlet Mall. It is the most well-laid-out, well-organized section event I think I've ever been to before, Bub.
No, it's really good. It's really, really good. We have a good time going to it. Last time we took out the Tony Rienzi collection. We took out the BEM Porsches. A lot of good stuff out there. The guys from Monkey in Paradise were out there showing off their rides. So a little bit of everything. You can see everything from muscle to imports to domestic to high-end to really low-end to lifted to custom bikes. You can literally see everything you can imagine all in one place.
And that is why it made sense for Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach to join us, Tony Rienzi, Monkey in Paradise, all of it together under one unified Lion Pride umbrella. Bub, I think we have a question coming in from our producer over here.
Oh, he's way off set. He's way over there.
We got a few people here. We got Joe Kramer, Cars of Instagram, and Opportunity. You want to say good morning to them all?
Good morning to Joe over at, he's out there in Fairfax, Bub. By the way, Max is getting ready to give some information to us. I know about it behind the scenes. The Cars and Coffee crew are getting ready to make a huge announcement. Don't go anywhere. We'll have it by the end of this week. What else you got, Mr. Producer?
Cars of Instagram says, looking forward to working with you.
Cars of Instagram says, looking forward to working with you. Bub, I can't talk too much about it. It's out there, though. Cars of Instagram. Cars and Coffee of the Palm, Madge, John, all of those guys, literally, chills, man. Good people. I'm so proud that they signed on as a title sponsor last night, and they're part of the Lion Pride.
Bub. Yep, absolutely, man. We got strength in that Lion Pride, I'm telling you.
Jumbie Bay, Thursday night, we'll all be there. It's going to be a great time. We ask you to come out and join us. I know a couple people have already said they've reached out to us. Bub, this 1953 Nash Statesman, made 1 year only. It's not just the exotics we build here, Bub. We cut our teeth building the classics as well, like this beautiful NCRS Corvette behind you.
Yes,
on
that's
the,
right.
Yeah, man. This 1953 Nash Statesman, bud, they were only made 1 year. And the developer of this car, designer of this car, also designed refrigerators. And that design is carried down the side of this car. It was a handoff to that refrigerator.
It looked kind of like a little coil spark plug sort of deal.
It did.
So this 53 Nash Statesman, let me tell you.
Does it drive like a refrigerator?
The producer wants to know if it drives like a refrigerator.
Okay, so if you could take a refrigerator where it's standing up, push it over and probably drop it down on four wheels, I would say hard mounted, because really no suspension on a refrigerator. And you complement that with, let's see, bias ply tires, and three on the tree, clunky doors when you shut it, no aerodynamics at all. Yes, drives exactly like a refrigerator on wheels.
How about that?
Super rough.
This car runs amazing.
This thing literally floats down the freaking road. Okay, so a lot of guys, maybe people haven't been in Nash's before. Is Nash's correct, or would it be Nash?
N.A. Nash.
Would it be Nashy?
A lot of people have not experienced a Nash before.
Nash-I. You know, like when you say octopi.
It's a Nashosaurus.
Okay, whatever it is, let me tell you. A lot of people have maybe ridden in full-size GMs, big body cars from the early 60s, 70s, even back to the 50s if you've ridden in an old two-door, four-door Cadillac. Those things had the motors that pulled and the weight that just floated down the road. Exactly what this Nash does. This thing is like a tub that you sit in. It's three-speed manual, three on the tree, so you're shifting on the column. Very, very
When you say three on the tree, Bob, what does that mean?
So instead of just natural, people are used to a shifter being floor-mounted, this is just reverse. It's just mounted on your column. So reverse is to you and up, first directly below that, second and third. So it's not a hard system to operate. Everything else is exactly the same. You still shift it the same, you still drive it the same, still have clutch, brake, gas. So everything's laid out the exact same except for where the shifter is.
Do you still wreck it the same?
You would, I don't.
Okay, I was just wondering.
This car it drives like a freaking dream, I swear to God. And this thing, if we were to do one final upgrade from the bias plies to radial white wall tires, it'd be that much smoother because, you know, they're much more soft compound, they ride better, they are belted so they won't be pulling all over the road like this one does. But this thing floats down the road, has plenty of torque with the inline six that's in it, and it's just an awesome car to drive. And let me tell you, it gets looks everywhere it goes.
But one of the things that you often hear people complain about with these older classic cars is, why is it taking so long? This car has sat over on this lift over 2 years, almost 3 years.
This July is three years.
3 years, ladies and gentlemen. What happened is the car came in, the owner was driving the car over the bridge, one of the bridges. There are many, many waterways here, so we have a lot of bridges here. He was driving it over the bridge and the rear end locked up because the previous facility that this car was serviced at did not put gear fluid in the back, nor did they put transmission fluid in the car.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame, you know, and the car had prior to literally 3 years ago, let's say three and a half. So prior to this just coming to us, it went through a complete restoration. The guys did a decent job on it. However, again, man, they missed the simplest stuff. How can you redo an entire car? This was a frame off. The bottom of the car is as clean as the top. This is a frame off restoration that was done. How do you miss putting transmission fluid and gear oil in? That was it, man. You missed two things, a total investment of $80 in synthetic gear oil. Actually, this wouldn't even need synthetic at the point, but you can put it in if you want to upgrade it. And that caused over $10,000 of damage to the car and an upset client for 3 years, not only with that situation, but with us because of the frustration level. You have to think this is a car that went through a multi-year restoration prior to it getting here, so it's done nothing but sit for a lot of the time because this client only got a couple hundred miles on it with no fluid and everything, and it all locked up.
And this car, I mean, this is the stuff, ladies and gentlemen, that keeps you awake at 2 o'clock in the morning sitting on the side of your bed. Because the client got so aggravated, he started ordering parts from a quote-unquote Nash expert. There's only 1 year that this particular setup was made, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go integrating parts. It doesn't work.
Yep.
And you're a very original, back-to-the-basics builder. If it worked from the factory, you want it to stay that way.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't understand, too, that, these cars, when they were designed in the factory, in 1953, granted, It was very basic. Everything was really, really kind of slim. There wasn't much going on. There wasn't, you know, very limited for electronics, 6-volt systems. The cars were very, very basic. However, if you took the time to understand the systems and the way that they function, what their end goal was and the way they should operate, then you can understand start to finish what you need to do to build it properly. These things were all about adjustments. I literally was able to, and trust me, I couldn't have done this if I didn't have these specs. I was out doing hours and hours and hours, probably days total
over
the time.
You had to pay for some of that research because it wasn't available online.
Just to find some of the factory service manuals for these cars. And thank God I found 2 pages out of this probably 700-page factory service manual from a 53 Nash. Some guy sold me these pages, just the 2 pages I needed, that explained all of the actual transmission adjustments, the clutch fork adjustment, as well as the drive shaft assembly. Everything is a one piece, so it's like considered a torque tube assembly. So there's trunnion bearings you have to adjust, there's a lot of stuff you have to adjust, and I've never put my hands into that before. Of course, I understand it because I take the time to learn it start to finish, and I won't go at it until I understand it. So I took the time, I figured out every piece of this car, and it literally made the assembly just like I had an assembly line of parts on a table. They were prepped, they were ready to go, and I took them and I bolted them on one at a time, moving through them, making sure the specs were all, I mean, cross your T's and dot your I's, it's that simple.
But you know what, Bub, if you just had parts laid on a table, why could it take 3 years?
It takes time to do it right, dude.
How about the fact that 90% of these parts you had to manufacture?
It was a lot. Literally, the only thing we didn't manufacture was the clutch kit. Everything else was manufactured. Everything. All the way down to, this is 1 year car. This is a 1953 Nash Statesman, 2-door, with what I just mentioned, a torque tube assembly. So it's a sealed drivetrain. Everything from the tail shaft to the transmission, all the way to the rear, is a one piece unit. The rear drums, the brake drums, are actually hub units. So it's a lot of components that are one piece items. And the only way we were able to find them was a guy that had this exact car. It couldn't be a 4-door. It was a different length. Everything wouldn't have matched. So the exact same car was sitting behind this guy's house, rotting away. Luckily, he had all of the drivetrain in this car.
And you wound up buying a second set on top of what the client
wanted. So we were able to get parts from this guy. Half of those parts were wrong. He thought that they were right. Again, that's where it shows. You don't know how much somebody's modified his car. He thought it was an all-stock 53. Someone had already been in there over the years and modified it. So then we're left with a car that has everything locked up, parts that are halfway right, and then we had to manufacture and mill the rest. It's a lot of work, a lot of time went into it, but I'll tell you what, this morning, I filled all the fluids in this car, I set the tire pressures, checked the fluids, literally hasn't started in 3 years, drained the gas, filled it up with new 93 octane this morning, started the car right up and backed it right up.
For a test drive.
Not a single flaw.
And that's the way you build, Bob. Everything you do is 110%. I was just talking to the USA adjuster on the ML350. We featured last week in the segment Collision Repairs Done Bubba Style. And we were talking about the precise, meticulous way you step through everything. He was blown away at his post-review of that vehicle, how you even replaced every one of the factory fasteners, and you paid for that, not for supplementals. That's just the way you wanted to build that vehicle.
No, I don't play around, dude. It's I go in my corner and I do my thing, and that's it. Don't push me off. Don't try to pull me away from what I'm doing. I do one target, and I make sure that target is done 100%.
You're honed in really deep.
Oh, for sure.
For example, Bub, you mentioned these are a hubbed drum in the back. Mm-hmm. Hubbed, and there are two types. There are hubbed and drop-off.
Yep.
Drop-off just pulls straight off. It's the newer technology.
Yep.
Hubbed means you literally have to go through bearings and seals and everything to get the hub off of there. There is a channel cut, a square channel cut, both in the spline of the axle and the hub of the disc of the drum brake assembly. Can't find what fits in that channel is what we call a Woodruff key.
Yep.
Right?
Never find them anywhere. Good luck. You could probably blow your head off. I kid you not, trying to find those two pins.
And what it does is it locks the hub and the axle together as one, so they spin in unison. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yep.
So what did you have to do to get around that problem, Bob?
Well, you have to manufacture them. You have to get hardened steel, and you have to do their 1/4 inch by 1/4 inch by 3 inch long. You have to manufacture those parts. So find the 1/4 inch steel, chrome ollie, so it's super strong, stronger than it would have been in this car in 53. Cut them to fit, modify them, polish them down, have them machine polished, and then take them and stick them right in. And they're exactly how they should be. So this, you're able to take what, if you take and understand what you're trying to not only do, but also the function of the part you're working with. If you can understand those two things, and I always have trouble trying to get people to understand that. But if you understand what the part is in your hand and what its sole purpose is, and then how you have to get those pieces combined, you can make anything work. And a lot of people can't do that.
They don't. And that's the difference, bud. People are parts hangers, or they just put a sloppy product out there. They don't take the time. 3 years it took you, but you didn't stop sniffing down the trail until you had it perfect.
It takes a long time, man. And most people don't understand. Like, that's it. Had I have not found those parts in the middle of some freaking, I don't even know, this guy was in like Wisconsin or something. He was somewhere Midwest. If we hadn't have come across that guy, and I got the two main pieces I needed, which was the ring and the pinion gear, both inside of the differential assembly. A lot of guys are familiar with those names that I'm throwing out there. If I didn't find those two components, there's no way I would have ever gotten those pieces. The originals were so broken apart, there's no possible way I could have taken them, sent them off, and had them cut at anyone. You know, like Richmond Gear, for example, Motive, Randy's Ring and Pinion, all those places, you can't just throw those names out there because they're quick and they're go-tos and they're name brand companies. They don't sell stuff like this. This stuff was done for 1 year. There was a reason it was done for 1 year. It was terrible. But it had to be done exactly how this was to put this car back together. It's a numbers matching all original car. That's the only way it's going to go down.
And Bub, it took that time to make it happen.
Yep.
And you just didn't give up. You weren't about to give up. So it doesn't matter, Bub, if it's a $300,000 Lamborghini and you're doing a twin turbo upgrade for $100,000 or a 1953 Nash Statesman, which goes back to the basics. You're able to get your hands around it, you're able to research it, and you're able to build it 122% of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go that far in percentage, I mean, you can only really max out at 100, but we'll go with the extra.
There's a reason, Bub, straight up, there's a reason Bub's the best in the industry today. If you saw the Woodward fabrication area, it's incredible what Bub does in that piece of his facility. There's nothing he can't build. He's an amazing designer, builder, fabricator. And as you can see, he steps through every piece of it until it's 100% right. And Bub, I'm very proud of the fact that you didn't let go of this thing. It did take you 3 years. It's like some of our other projects we've got going here. Doesn't mean somebody's not paying attention to the vehicle. It means you're getting parts built and we're getting things in line and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, once I've got my, like I just mentioned before, once I've got my assembly line, my parts laid out, I put my nose down to it, and I'm not stopping until it's right.
And that was funny too, Bub, because the way you did this is you'd manufacture a part, move on to the next project, and you put it on your table. Mm-hmm. You manufacture a part, make sure it was right, move on to the next project. And over the course of this 3 years, you were building these parts out to get it right for this client.
Yeah, and then I stuck it together, and it was perfect.
And 110%.
The car drives, I'm telling you. Like, when you guys drive this car, you guys physically aren't going to be able to drive this car. Maybe we'll do a ride-along. Producer, yes, maybe.
Hey,
we'll
producer, can we do a ride-along with this car?
Just a little something? You can literally... I kid you not, you can shift this car by holding the ball of the shifter itself, not my ball. You can hold the ball of the shifter literally with index and thumb, and you can just manually like work this thing in and out. It's butter smooth.
Let's do a ride along. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do a ride along.
Can't even get this thing running.
Bub and I will go out there and do a ride along for you. The producer will hook up the cameras and we'll just see this thing run down the road.
Man. Yeah, man. Cruising like
a live.
Do it live.
I don't care.
We'll do a live stream after this. We'll do a live stream. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, just stay up with us. We'll do a live stream later on today of it, and we'll our producer, of course, will do a very post-edited.
Now let's talk serious here for a minute. This car is not only really good looking, but it is filthy, dude. 3 years of sitting, this thing has collected some dust, and this has literally been in the shop in our main build facility. If you guys ever watch any of our background photos, you'll see this on our Challenger lift, up in the air, on our scissor lift. It's been sitting there for 3 years. You can't miss the freaking thing. This car has collected a lot of dust, a lot of oxidation. So now we are going to go into full production this afternoon, because the client's picking it up today, into cleaning this car and making it look like a mint. As you can see from the passenger side center of the grill over, look at the chrome plating. So even though you guys have some older chrome out there, and I'm just throwing this out just because it's fun, even if you have oxidized chrome, like look at the grill, this is not coming off. I don't know if you can hear how rough and dry this is. This is very, very disgusting. It's oxidized, there's coating on it. That's not just dust you wipe away with your hands. This has to be polished off. I've already done the hood emblem and from the passenger side over on the grill, and you can see the mirror reflection compared to the dull finish here. So you can take the time, do the stuff right. This is nothing more than a lot of hand work. You can't rush this any other freaking way. You have to use your hands. You can't just go and buy tools and, you know, sandblast the junk. You're not doing any of that. You're using your bare hands and you're using the right materials. This is a quad-aught 4-0 steel wool, ultra fine, on the chrome plating. and I'm using a, my personal preference is Mother's Chrome Polish. That's what I'm using, just a soft amount, just so that the material stays wet and you're not just creating a complete friction, even though it's an ultra-fine steel wool on the chrome. So we've got a lot of hand working to do. Again, there's that time thing. You ask me what takes so long. Do you want your car clean or do you want me to send it out like this?
Well, they'll bitch. You'll get the bitch if it's taking you too long, or bitch
hey,
if you send it out dirty.
This guy, no, you're gonna have to be bleeping some stuff out over here, this guy.
Sean, over at DNA Surface Contest, we need your hands. Over here, man. What products do we have?
I don't know if putting any sort of ceramic or carbon coating on this.
To get this cleaned up.
No, I don't think we need to go that far. The paint is, again, guys, that kind of stuff, like coatings, ceramic coatings, carbon coatings, everything that Sean does at DNA Surface Concepts, you need to do those on paint jobs that are meant to have them done on. Don't put them on a paint job that's either flat, it's faded, it's disgusting, it's worn out, you've got maybe clear chipping off of it, you've got rock chips in the front of it. That's not going to benefit you. You want to take the time, and if you have damaged flaws like that, get them repaired first and then put them on a very clear paint job. A lot of times you hear people use the words paint correction. You do a paint correction before you do any of these sealants and these final lock-in coatings that protect your surface, because you want it to be as clear and clean as possible before any of that goes down. So this is not a perfect candidate.
But Sean might know a good way to wash off some of this grit and grime.
Yeah, it's called 600 grit sandpaper and repaint.
Boy, it's been a long one.
We're going to go for it.
That's exactly right. So ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call doing it Bubba style. And we will bring you a live live feed. Stay with us. Watch for it. It'll be this afternoon. It'll be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be driving while Bub's in the passenger seat this time, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to switch it up just a little bit.
Definitely going to stall out for sure.
Maybe.
Let me tell you though, this thing, you cannot hear it running. So I don't even, well, just don't take it over like 50, okay?
All right. We'll see how it turns out.
I don't know what the speed rating is on these old bias plies. I wasn't around for that time, but just don't take it over 50. I wouldn't push it over that.
That means I'm going 70.
For sure. This guy's going to wreck this thing today.
Absolutely.
3 years, add another year.
Add another year.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Doing It Bubba Style and 53 Nash Statements. Done Bubba Style.
That's it, man. I'm done. I got to get back to work and do a lot of polishing all by hand, dude. So you just sit down and start going.
It's brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Monkey in Paradise. Bubba, what is your paradise?
Right here, right now.
Monkey in Paradise. It is it's the best. It's a 2-time gold medal winner, Bub. It doesn't come any better than that. The guys over there, Alex, Seth, Frankie, all of those guys, good guys, solid characters, man. Good moral people to stand behind. Monkey in Paradise reminds you, please drink responsibly.
Yep.
Please drink responsibly.
Yep.
That is why your car wound up in the side yard after last Thursday's night's get together. It's called The Monkeys Out at Jumbie Bay on Thursday night.
Monkeys are gonna be out, dude.
This
we
is going to
be a big
week.
Crew. It's a lot of fun.
This is going to be a big week out. There'll be a bunch of.
There's going to be buffalo wings everywhere. I know that. Everywhere.
Not good.
I'm not doing the ghost wings like last time. We had two of the monkey crew were trying to go really strong and really hard. I went in on one of them just to see if I could do it. Let me tell you, that was the dumbest mistake I've ever made.
I ate two.
One of the guys actually looked like he was like on cast or on set of like a vampire.
Did you see how his eyes got purple underneath?
Oh, no, for sure. He looked like he was transforming.
He was crying.
Like a werewolf bite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I understand the next day was really rough for him.
Probably. They were hot.
It wasn't the monkey that he was being irresponsible with.
No, it was the ghost pepper.
The ghost pepper.
And there's, what's worse is there's actually something better that's there right now. So anyone who wants to try it again is.
Monkey in Paradise. Please drink responsibly, but have fun. TonyRienzi.com. It's TonyRienzi.com. MissOutlawBoutique.com. And ladies and gentlemen, our new sponsor, Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, where June 11th is the next big show. We want everybody to come out and meet us, the crew from Monkey in Paradise. You guys don't understand what a good group of people these are. These are good, solid people, and they will take time with their exotics and talk to you and share with you. You'll meet Tony Rienzi, the exotic car guru and salesman to the stars. You'll meet Alex. You'll meet Seth. You'll meet all the guys from Monkey in Paradise out there. You'll meet Max and John from Cars and Coffee. And if you want to attend a super well set up Cars and Coffee, and they're going for the second Guinness World Record in November, Bub. We're going to be talking about
that. Let's make sure it happens. That's it.
Make sure it's going to be a rumble in the alley.
That's it.
Trust me, it is.
Yep.
Till tomorrow, Bub.
Just keep on doing it Bubba style.
Keep on doing it Bubba style. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you step out today to touch somebody's life in a really positive way. Doesn't matter how your day's going. If somebody's hungry, buy them a meal. If they've got holes in the bottom of their shoes, lend them a pair that you've got extra, or buy them a pair. Payless is cheap, man. Cheap. If an elder leaves the door open, do something small like that. Until tomorrow, keep on doing it. Father, stop. You have to clean this up.
No, you're wiping me off. I'm not even, you just keep